Thank you, Tim. Good afternoon, brethren. Well, 1 week from tomorrow, we'll be keeping the Passover once again. That's a time of reflection, of self-examination, a time of appreciation for the sacrifice Christ made for us. In preparing this message, I realized something that I had not really looked at too closely before. Something that I think we kind of read through when talking about and taking the Passover. I don't exactly know why, but I thought it was important. That's what I'd like to talk about today. An aspect that we haven't really paid as much attention to as maybe I should have. We know that Christ died for the remissions of yours and my sins. In fact, the sins of the whole world. He had to do that to pay our debt to God for the transgression of God's law, to reconcile us to God. Pay the price for lawlessness, to pardon us from our sins, to heal the breach, if you will, between us and our God. I wonder sometimes if you and I really grasp the significance of that. We know that Christ was our Passover lamb, the lamb slain for this world. If you turn to John, I think we'll read that, John chapter 1, verse 29. John chapter 1, verse 29. It says, the next day John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. There's another aspect of the things taking place here during the time leading up to the Passover I'd like to take a look at. It's the attitude and mindset Christ exhibited as he was going through these things. And one thing in particular, Christ was ridiculed, mocked, he was laughed at and put down, beaten. And yet he never said a bad thing about or to any of those who were doing those things to him. But to me, the most important thing that I took from this, besides the fact that he died for our sins, is recorded in Luke chapter 23. In Luke chapter 23, verse 34, Luke 23, verse 34, says, then Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. So after all that was done to him, after all the things that he had gone through, one of the last words out of his mouth or statements was, forgive them, for they know not what they do. We know that they did know exactly what they did. They planned it. They plotted it. They saw Christ as a threat to the power structure, to the way they were governing the people. That's not what Christ meant. He meant that they didn't believe that he was the Son of God, that he was the true Messiah that came down. And that really hit me. He was being crucified, and yet he was willing to forgive them. So that got me thinking, do we exhibit that same forgiveness that Christ did? We know that we are to follow Christ's example, to walk as he walked, to live our lives as He did. We're to have Christ living in us. I'd like to take a minute here to clarify a couple of things. God is ultimately the one who forgives us our sins. We all know that. After all, it was Him that sent Christ down to be our sacrifice. But we also know that God and Christ are in perfect tandem with each other. Christ said that He came to do the will of my Father, and that the Father and He are one, just as we need to be one with them. We can find that in John 17. If you turn to John 17, look at verse 21. John 17 and verse 21. Actually, I think we'll start in verse 20. It says, I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. But I wanted to focus here today on the aspect of Christ's forgiveness. Do you and I have that same forgiveness for each other that Christ had for those who chose to kill Him? Or do we have a tendency maybe to hold on to things when we feel that we've been wronged by others? Do we try to focus on the good in each other, brethren? Or do we continue to hang on to maybe a prior perception of somebody or something somebody had done? I know I've been guilty of that in the past. How about you? God's word tells us that we are to show love to and for one another. We can read that in 1 Peter chapter 3. If you turn there, 1 Peter chapter 3. We'll read verses 8 and 9. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 8. Finally, all of you be of one mind, having compassion one for another. Love as brothers, be tender-hearted, be courteous, not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, blessing, knowing that you were called to this, that you may inherit a blessing. Let's also look at 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. We'll read verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. We can't achieve that goal without being able to forgive one another. When God's watching us, He's looking to see if we're making progress, to see if we're growing, if we're striving to live our lives in the way that Christ did, following His example when He walked on this earth. As we go through this next week, reflecting on ourselves, examining our behaviors, as we contemplate the importance of Christ's life and His sacrifice and death, let's also strive to show true love for one another, being able to really forgive each other as Christ forgave those who put Him to death. Praying for one another always, that we may be pleasing to God. I hope that all of you have a truly meaningful Passover and night to be and days of unleavened bread.